I'm Lisa Prather, and welcome to The Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare. Well, today we're talking about pain, science or mystery. And Dr. Prather, you always come up with these titles. You're so proud of them. So we'll find out what you mean more about science or mystery. Sure. But what is pain?
You know, that's one of the million-dollar questions. Mm-hmm. And the answer, you try to combine science and, you know, what the reality of it is. And it's still a mystery. Mm-hmm. Because some of the rules that we come up with on pain don't always follow. It is kind of like a combination of science and mystery. And right now, what they talk about is the theories of pain. Mm-hmm. And we emphasize theory. Mm-hmm. Because pain is basically a theory at this point, and our understanding has improved quite a bit, but we still haven't really nailed it. There's a lot of misconceptions. There's a lot of rules that are broken for every different type of science that we try to put together on it. And throughout time, there's always been different theories. Mm-hmm. Where we've operated from, and most of those theories always have some exceptions.
Okay. So it's a theory.
It's a theory.
We got that.
Yeah. So, you know, when you talk about what is pain, they're not even quite sure if it's the same from person to person.
Mm-hmm. Definitely people have different thresholds.
Oh, absolutely.
What someone calls pain, someone wouldn't call pain.
Right. It's really quite a, it is a sensation, and there are different kinds of pains. People have actually talked about that, but, you know, so it's kind of a combination of things. Matter of fact, the earliest theory of pain that's recorded is Aristotle, and he didn't actually think of pain as a physiological type of thing. It was more of an emotion.
Mm, that was Aristotle.
Aristotle.
So there was an emotion connection?
Right. Hippocrates thought it was an imbalance in humors. There's a lot of different types of thoughts on what pain is, and actually each one of the different types of theories on that seems to hold some valid information.
Interesting. So why do we have pain?
Well, you know, that's also one of the things that has been debated. Well, you know, what is the benefit of pain? And pain is basically a communication of our body to our brain saying, hey, this isn't really that great. Mm-hmm. So pain is an important part of being able to survive. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, there are people who are born without pain sensation. Mm-hmm. And it's a very dangerous life for them.
Right. They can lose limbs. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. So not everybody has pain. And some people out there would say, wow, wouldn't it be nice not to experience pain? Mm-hmm. You know, just not to have that. But your life expectancy really drops. Pain is something that is important for survival.
Well, you burned yourself a little bit last night.
I did, and I had some pain, and it told me to move my hand quickly because I was
right.
Right. Uh-huh. So, you know, so there wasn't any
more. You have
more.
A nice little blister today.
I have a nice little blister. Isn't that cute?
Uh-huh.
I was cooking. I was moving the tray out and the pot hand.
Right, and if you didn't know your pain receptors didn't kick in.
Right. I would have gone ahead and burned some more tissue.
Mm-hmm. So what are the different, you talked a little bit about the theories.
Sure.
What different theories of pain are there?
There are tons of theories out there. We talked about Aristotle, that he thought that it was more of an emotion, mm-hmm. on the same level as pleasure, and that the emotions play a big role. And that is, it's interesting, but there is a lot of truth on that. Your different emotional state does have a big effect on your pain perception.
Mm-hmm.
So that is very true. And from culture to culture, it is something that people can moderate. There were different types of ways that people actually work to and strive, mm-hmm. to not to feel pain. There are people out there who can put hooks through their back, through different muscles, and then hang themselves from the ceiling.
Don't picture that.
just to demonstrate that they that pain is not something that, that bothers them. Childbirth can be a very painful experience, but
how do you know?
Well, good question. I've certainly been told that. And one of the things that you learned to do was the Bradley method, and that helped your pain perception quite a bit, didn't it?
Yes, the deep breathing,
the relaxation, all those different
the
things.
The environment
had a very big difference, made a very big difference on the pain level. So Aristotle, Hippocrates had the four humors. The first one that was considered more scientific was the specificity theory, where the amount, basically what they said, Descartes said, and some of the others, that the amount of damage that was done to the tissue had a big effect on the level of pain. So he brought that up. There's the intensive theory. There's a pattern theory. And the most recent one is the gait control theory. And all of those seem to play a big role on that. Probably the most accepted theories right now is a combination of the gait theory and pattern theory. But those do have a big effect on how people treat pain. So your theory of pain does affect on how you approach the pain. And so it's a very important type of thing to have an idea of.
Well, why is it so hard to study pain?
Well, we were thinking about doing a, an experimentation, and we were asking for volunteers. You know, is there anyone out there that would really like to volunteer to do a pain study? And
point.
Well,
good point.
You know, and even animal studies. I mean, you can't.
Oh, right.
You know, that would be.
Oh my.
Pretty cruel.
Yeah.
You know, bring in your little kitten and let's check out how much pain they can tolerate. Now, you know, that's not a really fun thing to do. So there are limitations on what you can do scientifically and ethically to study pain.
Well, what influence play a part in pain perception?
There's an awful lot of things that, that they found with pain perception. If you couldn't see something, you know, like you were blindfolded, and they did experiments on people where they say, okay, now we're going to do a pain study on you, and we're going to burn you. And they came up with ice, and then they touched them like that, and people would actually yelp and ow. And
think they were being burned.
Thought they were being burnt. And people could even develop blisters from it. Whereas if they were watching it and they did the same thing, they said, oh, well, that's just cold.
Do they really do that?
Yeah, they actually did that as an experimentation.
Some people have volunteered.
Right, there are people who actually do volunteer, but, you know, there's limitations. So they couldn't actually burn them because that would have been ethically wrong, but they told them they were going to burn them.
Right.
So if you're watching what's going on, can kind of see what's happening, knowledge of what's going on is a very important part of pain perception. They find that patients, when it's like, oh, I've got this abdominal pain, and the doctor goes, I have no idea what that is, their pain perception goes up. If they sit there,
what, a lack of understanding?
If there's a lack of understanding, if you sit down there and say, you've got some stones in your gallbladder, here's a picture of them, this is what's causing it, blocks over here, we're going to be able to take care of that for you. The patient goes, oh, okay, wow, that's a relief. You know, it's something that's going to be gone here pretty soon. And their pain level automatically drops as they're grading it. So even the knowledge of what's going on, the scariest thing is not really understanding, and that has a very definite perception of pain.
Well, I know even in birthing, I did the Bradley method, and it was very based on knowledge. It was a 12-week course.
Sure.
I mean, I understood by the time I gave birth, so that knowledge did really help me to know what's coming next. And
If you don't know, pain perception actually goes up. One of the things is they did a study on people who were in battle. And let's say they had their big toe blown off. and they compared it to like a construction worker that had his toe taken off. Mm-hmm. And they compared the levels of pain and how much pain medication they needed to be able to get it under control. The guy who was here in the States where, you know, this happened, mm-hmm. the pain was excruciating. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because this was something that was unexpected. It was something that, you know, nobody else was really having happen. And, you know, the pain level was 10 out of 10 mm-hmm. is what they put down, which was very common. They go into a battlefield and they talk about somebody who had their big toe blown off. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, what's your pain level? Oh, maybe a 2, maybe a 3. Mm. Why? Because the guy next door had his leg blown off. You know what I mean?
Wow.
That was right next to you?
Maybe that's for that emotion.
Huh. Exactly. And they were very serious. You know, do you need any pain medicine? No, it's just my big toe. It's no big mm-hmm. deal. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm going to go home from it, so this is actually a good thing.
So, hopefully the construction worker got to go home, too.
Yeah, right. So it's your surrounding, too, and how much people are suffering, what are the possibilities. So all those types of things kind of play a role in it.
Okay. When we come back, let's talk about the theory of pain that the Prather practice believes in. Pain, science, or mystery?
You can win a free 60-minute massage in a relaxing spa at the Prather Practice. Each month, we have a drawing to give away a free massage to one of our lucky Facebook and Twitter fans. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
Dr. Prather, you talk a lot about structure function care and disease care. What is the difference between the two?
When you're talking about disease care, you're usually talking about an interference in the body's normal mechanisms. There is a time for that. When the body is actually in a process of free fall, is a good way to kind of put it, where the body is no longer making sense of what it's doing. And we're on a pattern that it will actually crash. Then you need some interference. And the best way to actually do that is through pharmaceuticals. Pharmaceuticals are classified as poisons. They actually take the body further away from homeostasis, which I'll define here in a second. Mm-hmm. But at those times, that is actually necessary. So when the body is in a crisis and is no longer able to heal itself, that's when disease care is actually critical. That's where you actually utilize the pharmaceuticals and the surgical methods. What we're usually involved with is in structure function. And as opposed to a disease care, it's health care. Everything that you use in a structure function standpoint is something to bring the body back into homeostasis, which is balance.
Okay.
Dr. Guyton talked about homeostasis as the definition of health. If the body can maintain homeostasis, where it's in a perfect balance with all the different types of things that are coming in that are interfering with its function, that is the perfect state of health. And that's based on a balance of the physiology, functional, and upon the structure portion of the structure function.
Well, you talk about the body as the hero. What do you mean by that?
Body has a self-healing mechanism to it that can just make all sorts of corrections if we can just get out of its way. The whole idea behind healthcare is to provide the impetus, the needs, and the basis of what it will take to actually get the body well. So finding out where it's off, doing the proper diagnostics, and then making the proper type of adjustments into the care will actually result in the healing and the position that the body should actually be in.
Well, find out how structure function care can impact your life. Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope.
And I'm feeling good.
You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest.
I feel so good.
We're talking today about pain, science or mystery. And Dr. Prather, you talked about the different theories. What theory of pain does the Prather practice believe in?
Well, we do a combination. I mean, we see the value in each of these different things, but how we talk about pain is something called the theory of energy flow. So energy flow is really what we look at, and then also the pain threshold theory.
Okay.
Which is very close to the gait theory, but a little bit different.
So what is meant by energy flow?
Well, there are five pathways of energy that has been recognized for an awful long time. There's the nervous system, there's the cerebral spinal fluid, there's the circulatory system, there's the lymphatic system, and the electromagnetic system. Are the five pathways of energy, plus a pain threshold level. And the reason that we like that is because it's very practical and extremely effective.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you know, as I'm examining someone, I can tell the difference between the pains that are going on, between each one of them, and can identify them.
Mm-hmm.
And how you treat them are completely different.
Well, it's interesting because this is pillar one of the eight pillars of perfect health.
Exactly.
That we talk about. And we do have a radio show on that, the eight pillars of perfect health. And you always start with the energy flow.
Yes.
And when you're evaluating a patient, is that where you start also?
That is where we start, because that is the quickest way to make a difference on people. Very definitely the quickest way to change the pain patterns.
Mm-hmm.
Because the theory of energy flow is pain is a blockage of energy.
Mm.
That's why you can sit there and on people, cut them open and do surgery without pain medication. That was the big thing that opened up the whole acupuncture mm-hmm. aspect. And what you're doing with the different needles is they're placing them in different spots to reroute the energy of the body.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can actually cut people open and do whatever you need to without any perception of pain, because you're rerouting the energy, and that's why that works. Also, as we are working with people, if we can get the energy flowing in the different five pathways,
mm-hmm.
then you can get the pain under control. But you have to identify which pathways are involved, how they're actually blocked, and as you get those open, then you can reduce that pain level quite dramatically.
Go over those again.
Sure.
There's five energy pathways. Nervous system.
Nervous system, cerebral spinal fluid, electromagnetic energy, lymphatic energy, and the vascular system.
So how are each of these treated in your office?
Well, as you're looking at each of those, there are different treatments, and we work on getting those opened up. Like with chiropractic, there are over 40 different recognized systems of doing different types of adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
I've sat down with some of my friends and came up with over 400.
Wow.
And different types of adjustments, manipulations of the body, body work, concentrate on different systems. We have Logan Basic, we have cerebral spinal fluid type of adjustments, sacro-occipital type of techniques. Those work on the cerebral spinal fluid.
Mm-hmm.
So there are very specific types of work that you can do for the cerebral spinal fluid flow, which has very definite patterns of pain.
Mm-hmm.
You have the nervous system, where we have different forms of chiropractic. The vascular system, the neurovascular system, there's specific adjustments. So we've learned how to do lymphatic type of adjustments. We've learned how to work with the electromagnetic energy, which is mainly acupuncture.
Mm-hmm.
So each of these different types of areas has a very set pattern of different types of work that we do to get those opened up. And one of the problems that we feel that a lot of the failure of pain treatments at this point
mm-hmm.
is because the medical system really doesn't recognize energy flow and how to really work with that to get the pain perception down.
Interesting, yeah.
You know, and then even as you're going into different types of treatments, if you're not aware of how to work with each of those five pathways, you might be very good at the nervous system,
mm-hmm.
but if you know nothing about how to open up the cerebral spinal fluid, there are a lot of different types of pain patterns that you are not going to be able to fix.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an encompassing type of thing. And one of the things I found in my when I was going through school is I went around to different types of chiropractors, different types of practitioners. And I knew a one practitioner who was excellent at the cerebral spinal fluid, but really didn't deal with anything else. So there was a very certain set of people that he had a lot of success with. Mm-hmm. And the other people, if someone had a lymphatic system, he really couldn't do anything for them to get their pain levels down.
So you're evaluating when someone comes in and has pain, what energy pathway is blocked?
Correct.
Interesting. And it might be more than one.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, oftentimes we can have all five. And I even go through the patient. Okay, now we've cleared up the nervous system. That's what I wanted to work on first. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to start clearing up the cerebral spinal fluid.
Mm-hmm. And for our listeners, the cerebral spinal fluid,
yes,
right, runs in the spinal cord?
Spinal cord, yes. From the sacrum all the way up to the skull. Mm-hmm. And there are certain definite pain patterns that occur with that. Disc pain is actually a very much a part of that particular type of pattern. That's why very specific types of adjustments are important for a disc herniation to get that pain down. Mm-hmm. But we get that down very quickly because I concentrate on the cerebral spinal fluid.
Interesting. So how effective is this energy flow theory in treating patients?
It's amazingly effective. Mm-hmm. We find that of all the different types of theories, this is the most practical. Mm-hmm. Now, as I talk to medical doctors and other different types of people, they say, well, prove it. Well, you know, I can't, but you can't prove any of the theories at this point. Mm-hmm. But on a practical basis, it beats all the other theories. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're really looking on making changes, sort of the proof is in the pudding. Mm-hmm. And I've never seen any of the other theories with the same results.
Right. And we've talked the past shows about the addiction to pain medication.
And you know, there's the other aspect of the whole pain is the pain threshold. Mm-hmm. And of course, that's just really collapses with the pharmaceutical method. Mm-hmm. Over a long period of time. You also, that's where, you know, we have, when we're talking about our type of care, we're talking about structure function. And working with the five energies is basically a big part of our structural area, but then also we have the functional area. Now, the functional is very, very helpful because that's where you get into the pain threshold. Mm. So one of the things is if you've had pain for a long period of time, your ability to handle pain threshold needs to be helped because the pain itself, the body tries to block it. Mm-hmm. So it utilizes a lot of vitamins, minerals, amino acids to produce an increase in energy to try to handle it. And oftentimes when we're getting people better, the first thing that they notice is because they have such high levels of pain is that their energy is better even before their pain perception is better.
Wow.
Because it's taking less energy in their system to keep their pain threshold high.
Because a lot of their energy is just going to that pain.
Going to that pain, and it's wearing them out.
Interesting.
So I can tell because of the energy flow that I'm making progress on the patient before the patient actually knows it.
Mm-hmm. And you can find areas of pain they didn't even know they had.
And that's the other thing is that pain is selective. If you have, you know, really bad pain in your neck, you're not going to be aware of some pain that's going down in your foot. Mm-hmm. So as I'm examining people, I can see and evaluate and say, wow, you have right here a real bad blockage of energy. Mm-hmm. And I poke it and they go, oh, ouch.
Mm-hmm.
They don't actually say that.
Said?
Yeah. That hurt.
No swearing in the eye.
and I go, yeah, I know. And it's in the patients say, wow, you know my body better than I do.
Oh, I hear that all the time. How did he know? I came in here for neck pain. How did he know my foot hurt?
Right.
You know?
And there's patterns on that. There's ways of perceiving it. And I can examine the body and tell the patient more about what's going on because the brain doesn't really want to handle everything at once.
Mm-hmm. Right. Thank goodness.
Yes.
All right. When we come back, more on pain, science or mystery. Listen to the Voice of Health Radio on your smartphone or tablet on all of the top radio apps available. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. You can find these apps and more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is the Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. Laughter is the best medicine.
Doctors are good people. That's why they avoid the word pain. It's a buzzword. They won't hit it a lot. They don't want to scare anybody. Doctors will tell you all about pressure. They'll tell you all about the pressure you're going to experience. If a doctor tells you you're about to feel some pressure, buckle up. In a moment, you're going to feel a little bit of pressure. The pressure hurt like hell! Pressure. All pain involves pressure. That's one of the definitions of pain. You could be swinging a 2x4 at your head. In a moment, you're going to feel a little bit of pressure.
The Voice of Health Minute with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice. Probably a lot of our listeners haven't heard of this therapy, auricular therapy.
When you have severe traumas, it will change the way that the brain works. There's damage that is actually measured. Auricular therapy is like the keyboard to the brain. Auricular therapy, working on the ears, changes the brain and reverses the damage that has occurred from trauma. Someone who's had some severe traumas, any type of assaults or issues along those lines, going with the auricular therapy is extremely helpful. We've had a lot of people who came in with PTSD, and the auricular therapy was really able to change how their brain was functioning, and they could just get over it. Because one of the things that occurs is oftentimes the trauma will replay, and that's locked into the brain. The auricular therapy is basically the best way to get rid of that.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. Have you ever been curious about how acupuncture can benefit your health? The Prather Practice has received the NDA List Award for Best in Acupuncture for 2 years in a row. And we've been rated the top acupuncture provider by Google+. Dr. Robert Prather is a board-certified licensed acupuncturist. He's earned a reputation for combining effective acupuncture-based techniques with cutting-edge technology to help patients with many conditions. Acupuncture is documented and proven to help with many health issues, including pain, allergies, addiction control, anxiety, fatigue, vision problems, infertility, and so much more. We even have needle-free options for those who are a bit squeamish around needles. Call the Prather Practice to schedule your appointment and experience the benefits of acupuncture for yourself. 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. I'm Lisa Prather, and you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice, where we get to the root cause of your health issue. We're talking today about pain, science or mystery. And Dr. Prather, are people always aware of their pain?
Not always. I mean, we find pain on people that, and oftentimes it's because they have pain elsewhere. Mm-hmm. So being aware of that, and then we've had people come in with a car accident. And one of the things that we recommend is that they come in for an evaluation afterwards. I've had patients who came in and said, you know, I was in a bad car accident, but I don't really seem to have a whole lot of pain. Mm-hmm. And then I go in and examine their neck and their low back and other different types of things, and they're going, ow, 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 ow. There is a very big effect of the brain mm-hmm. on pain. And people aren't always aware of their pain, or people are over-perceptive of their pain. Mm-hmm. I've had patients who came in and said, you know, I recently had an Amish lady came in, mm-hmm. and she was really a tough old lady. And she was a tough old bird. Uh-huh. And he says, you know, her husband goes, you know, I want her checked out. You've done an awful lot for me. Mm-hmm. And she kind of limps a little bit, and, you know, I see her move, and it's just not quite right. She says she doesn't hurt. Mm-hmm. And I go in there and palpate, and I can feel, you know, the blockage and the spasm and all the different types of aspects that go into pain, and it was just all over the place. And it took a lot for me to kind of get her to wince.
Mm-hmm. Tough old bird.
She was a tough old bird, and then when we did her x-rays, she was a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she was one of these people who just mentally didn't acknowledge pain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that mm-hmm. just wasn't in, that wasn't what you did, that's what not how you lived. And he said all of her family's like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there are genetic aspects of pain
mm-hmm.
that some people can really handle large amounts, and there's even different perceptions in cultures and races and those types of things that have been very well documented. And she was one of these people who just didn't acknowledge pain. There are people who have been in pain for so long
mm-hmm.
that even after everything's all fixed throughout their body, they still perceive pain.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is because there is a what we call a pain pattern in the brain,
mm-hmm.
where the pain is either augmented or it is something that has just developed the pathways for so long that they actually perceive the pain. And that's one of the problems with pain medications, analgesics, especially opiates. Once you've been on them for an awful long period of time,
mm-hmm.
it seems to create a pattern of pain in the brain that remains there even after the pain is gone.
Mm.
So, you know, one of the main problems that we find with opiates is that it will eventually start to create pain where there is no physical reason for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that becomes a real problem. There was a situation with one of our past medical directors had a daughter that had headaches mm-hmm. ever since she was like 12. And she was in her later 30s, and we treated her, basically cleared up all the underlying problems, but she still had the headaches.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no real physical reason as we checked her. And I sit there and I says, you know, it was, because she was continuing on her pain medicine, I said, the pain medicine is actually creating in the brain the headaches.
Mm-hmm.
So we did got her off of those, put her on some homeopathics and some supplements,
mm-hmm.
and lo and behold, all of her headaches were gone.
Wow.
So that is something that is found with analgesics, is they can keep the pain going
mm-hmm.
even after you no longer have the pain. The mm-hmm. underlying problem.
Interesting.
So, you know, and when it gets locked into the brain like that, we need to go after the brain.
Mm-hmm. And there's so much, it seems like the brain, there's going to be just a whole new awareness. And I think there's going to be a lot more research done on the brain.
Yeah, with the ability to monitor the brain at this point, the technology is moving forward. MRIs, EEGs, different types of those. That's one of the things we do in here. And then discovering what are the patterns on the brain and then actually working with it. One of the ways that we do that is through the ear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's talk about the different treatments that are helpful for pattern of pain in the brain.
One of the things that has been found that is extremely helpful is auricular therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of different ways of working with that. Auricular therapy is something that has been around for thousands of years. And it, the way that we describe people, because they're, why are you working on my ear to affect the brain,
mm-hmm.
is that it seems to be the keyboard to the brain. There is neurological connections that go on there. And interestingly enough, auricular therapy, even though it sounds kind of out there,
mm-hmm.
is actually probably the most proven therapy in the world. Mm-hmm. Because you can hit different points on the brain, and through an MRI, you can actually see different patterns in the brain and changes that take place.
You meant you hit different points on the ear.
On the ear. Yeah. Oh, yes, on the ear. Uh-huh. Did I say the brain?
Yeah.
Okay. You can hit different points on the ear, and then you can see the immediate changes on the brain. Mm-hmm. So you can then be able to change the brain patterns to get the brain perception of pain to change. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes the pain is completely coming from the brain, mm-hmm. and you have to work with the brain to be able to get that changed. And we have direct auricular therapy, and then we have a new technology called P-Stim. Mm-hmm. And that is a new area of treatment that we're very excited about. Mm-hmm. And I've had some amazing results with that. I had one poor gentleman who had been, he was a veteran, had been injured quite a bit, had been put on a tremendous amount of opiate and different analgesic types of therapies, which had just really made the problem worse. And he was just in a desperate situation, wanted to get off of those areas. We went in, corrected the original problems with the injuries to the body, mm-hmm. But still had, could tell a very big difference, and had been able to reduce his opiate consumption quite a bit. But then we got into the auricular therapy, especially the P-Stim is really where he got over everything, mm-hmm. was able to stop all of his opiates. He's just a different guy.
Right.
He's happy. You know, you actually found out who he really was, because mm-hmm. it had changed his personality and had gone through quite a metamorphosis, because we were able to, and he was able to do the withdrawal without any problems. Mm-hmm. And if you're looking for opiate ability to go through getting off of it without going through the horrible effects of that, mm-hmm. Auricular therapy is absolutely incredible.
And the P-Stim?
And the P-Stim.
Right.
And what's nice about the P-Stim is it's a continuous type of a treatment.
Right.
You can't walk around with me treating your ear on a regular basis.
Right. You wear the earpiece for 4 days on, and you have it off for 3 days.
Sure.
And every 2 weeks, we like to do a round of four, really seems to be effective. But it's been a nice, I mean, the conditions that it addresses, you know, not only arthritis and joint pain, neck pain, back pain, you know, helps with smoking sensation, because it works.
Actually, any addiction.
Any addiction, yeah. Migraines, depression, fibromyalgia, insomnia.
Sure.
Shingles, sciatica.
Right.
There's a whole list.
Well, depression is our feeling is very closely related to pain. When you're depressed, your pain levels increase quite dramatically. And both of those can be brain patterns, and you can change those brain patterns by utilizing the P-Stim. Mm-hmm. And the P-Stim is excellent because it's a continuous type of a treatment, and it will permanently change the brain patterns so that they're more normal. And as you get those normalized, then you no longer have the pain or the addictions. And it also changes the whole depressive mood, because you change the depression patterns that are in the brain.
Yeah. Makes sense. Well, thank you, Dr. Prather. Pain, science or mystery?
Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice. Dr. Prather, what can a new patient expect when they come into your office?
The first thing is that's extremely important is the consultation. Mm-hmm. That's really where everything begins.
And that consultation is complimentary, free. They can come in, and the consultation's with you, mm-hmm. which is nice.
Yeah, the consultation is absolutely critical. Matter of fact, you can get 90% of your diagnosis just from the consultation.
Mm-hmm. Listening to the patient.
Listening to the patient, finding out what their concerns are, what needs to be done, how we can best help them. Having a good understanding of the complaints of the patient is absolutely critical for good care, and knowing and the patient knowing that we are actually listening to them. We have very thorough intake forms that are extremely helpful. Gives us quite a bit of information of what's going on into the system. After the consultation, you have to look at the diagnostics.
Okay.
You first have to understand, you know, where the patient's coming from, have an idea, but then you have to know, you know, what to do, what the problem is. There is a difference on our diagnostics than from the medical diagnostics. The medical profession, as a disease care-based program, they are looking at disease states and combinations along those lines to treat the symptoms. Our basis of our care is a understanding of what is the underlying cause, finding out what that is, usually caused by a break from homeostasis. And you're going to hear that word if you're listening to our radio program.
You're going to know every it
time.
Well.
Because homeostasis is the basis of our practice, and homeostasis is the basis of health. And we are a health office. That is what a structure function office is. So the diagnostics are extremely thorough, probably more thorough than what you would get anywhere else. We look at very extensive blood work. We might do hair analysis, might do some evaluation of the gut because that's so important to one's health. We do a thorough cardiac evaluation. We do a thorough musculoskeletal exam. Many offices that even are into natural health are either just dealing with the functional aspect or they are just dealing with the structural aspect. We are unique in that we deal with both, and both of them extremely thoroughly and extremely well.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. It's a beautiful day. Sky falls, it feels like it's a beautiful day. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients.
Well, today I have Angie Nuttall, owner of the Corporate Talent Institute, with us. Welcome, Angie.
Thank you.
You're also an executive coaching, which I am part of.
Yes.
And feel privileged to be part of, and a patient of the Prather Practice.
Exactly. I'm a very proud patient.
There's a lot of P's in that.
That's right.
Proud patient of the Prather Practice. Well, Angie, let's talk about you've had success with chiropractic care. Tell us your success story.
Well, I have a lot of success stories around chiropractic care, and it's probably a good idea to talk about where chiropractic care came into my life. I was over in Iraq for 3 years, and I was an HR defense contractor, so my job was pretty hectic, and we were setting up structure for our contractors to come in and support our military. And after about 3 years, one day I had a serious fall. And I didn't know this, but I had damaged a couple of vertebrae in my neck. And so I suddenly became very ill, very sick, severe headaches. And so I had to come back to the States to find out what had happened. And as fate would have it, my sister-in-law was and still is an upper cervical chiropractor. And so she recommended that I go and see a chiropractor. So I went and saw a chiropractor and a medical doctor. And I very quickly realized that the chiropractor knew more about what he was talking about compared to the medical doctor. And not to say that medicine isn't important, but in this case, it was obvious that I had some spinal injuries and those needed to be repaired. So I started getting connected with chiropractic care then. And then later on, many years later, I was still continuing the care, and I had a couple of car accidents, and they worsened my situation, and that's how I ended up on your doorstep, where you put me through a pretty pretty regimented process to get back on the road to health, and I made an a very powerful recovery as a result of following that treatment plan. And so I'm a big advocate of chiropractic care.
And so you've had chiropractic care.
I did have another chiropractor here, but when I had the car accident, I wasn't finding the right kind of care. There wasn't anybody who practiced the upper cervical care, and that's exactly what I needed. So when I ran across you, and my sister-in-law helped connect us, it was the perfect fit.
And you were a good patient, by the way.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Followed your treatment plan. Because we did also not only the chiropractic adjusting, but acupuncture and the auricular therapy, and then the corrective exercise.
Yeah, it was very powerful. And it was, I'll just say that it was, it wasn't always easy to follow the regimen, but it was just the consistent care and following through with the treatment plan that really made the difference.
And now we hardly see you for the adjustment, do we? That's what happens.
That's exactly right.
So how does your chiropractic care success influence your work with your clients? Tell us a little bit about what you do.
Okay, well, I just want to say this, no pun intended, but it really taught me that you have to have your head on straight.
You've heard that somewhere before.
Yeah, and you have to, you really have to take care of yourself. And so what I realized is that stress really has a such a serious impact on your body. And I was in corporate America for over 20 years and in executive leadership positions, and had a quite a bit of demand on my time and my schedule. I was traveling globally, and even though I was getting chiropractic care, it wasn't optimal because I wasn't taking care of myself on the other side of things, on the emotional side of things, and so the stress was getting to me. And what I learned once I started my consulting firm is I learned how to help people to balance that other part and to really look at the, look at themselves as a whole person, not just a part of a person. And so I do a lot of work around leadership development, cultural engagement. I do a lot of executive coaching. I teach people how to show up with executive presence, and all of that really emanates from being at peace with who you are and what your circumstances are. And that's where people really struggle. They can get the care, the chiropractic care or the medical care, but they're, what they're not helping their situation because they're not really taking care of the stressful side of things and living a life that's meaningful for them. So that's where I come in and help to bridge that gap.
Wonderful. Well, tell us more about what talent remodeling is and what kind of clients you typically work with.
So talent remodeling is something that I had trademarked. It is a registered trademark, and it is a process that I use with people to help them to really discover what their core talents are and to help them to reshape their skills so they can reinvent and reposition their mission. And all of us have a mission. We just, many of us don't realize what that is. We go to work every day, we show up, we come home, we feel exhausted, we're doing the same things over, but all of us have natural talents. And I help people to tap into those talents so that they can step into the role that they're really called to do. And how I work with people and clients, I actually have three different groups that I work with. And the first is I work with organizations. So I work directly with CEOs, business leaders, and HR teams, and I help them to discover the potential that they have in their organization. I help them work on leadership development, cultural transformation, and I do coaching. Then I also work with individual business people. So you don't have to wait for your organization to develop you. You can go out on your own and you can get coaching. You can learn executive presence. You can be a part of some of the programs that I create for the public use. And then I also work with people who are in business for themselves when they're trying to start up and they're trying to figure out, how do I get my business going? How do I create relationships with people? So all three of those areas are areas that I work in.
Mm-hmm. What ways, specific ways, can you help people and organizations who are listening in today?
Well, specifically, you know, if you are an organization and you are a small to mid-size organization, one thing that my company does is we can come in and assess your situation and see what you need in terms of human resources services. And that might result in you needing someone to come in and build HR for you, or restructure what you have, or even have an HR generalist come on site and cover services. So we call that outsourcing. And most small to mid-size companies, they don't have a good handle on that. So we take that problem from you and manage that.
And that's something that you helped us with.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So we did that, and we got you an HR structure stood up and got some organization to your folks.
That was very helpful.
Yeah. So we also with organizations, so for mid to large size organizations, we can come in and do organizational assessments. We can figure out how you can be more productive, how you can change your processes to align with your business mission. And most of that starts with your culture and your leadership. So we come in and we build custom programs for your leaders. We build employee engagement programs. And then also, as I mentioned, we work directly with business people and entrepreneurs. And so we have the School of Executive Presence, and I'm the founder of that school. And I recognize that in order to be successful in today's world of business, you have to be able to show up with presence in a way that people are going to hear you, and they're going to see you and value you and celebrate you. So that's one of the things that I'm really passionate about right now. The School of Executive Presence is a very powerful, life-altering experience. And you've been...
Yes, I would agree with that.
Yeah, and... For example, for you, it started with a boot camp, and we're having another boot camp come up in October, and we're having it in Washington, D.C. and Indianapolis, and that's really the start of it for people to, for people who want to just stand up and start living their mission and start living a life of meaningfulness, and that's where it starts for us.
Yes. Wonderful. Well, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, I'm pretty easy to get in touch with. You could. I have a number of different websites. The best one to go to is thecorporatetalentinstitute.com. So it's www.corporatetalentinstitute.com, and that will lead you to the School of Executive Presence.com and also to thecorporatetalentexpert.com. So with the different divisions of my company, you'll want to start at the Corporate Talent Institute and find your way there.
Great. Well, I know, Angie, we've been working with you, Dr. Prather and I, and our son, who also works in the practice.
Yeah.
We have a coaching session with you once a month, and it's been very helpful.
Yeah.
You know, when you own your own business, there's logistics and managing people that, you know, I felt I needed training in. You know, I wasn't trained in college. I went to school for occupational therapy. And so you've been a real asset, and more than an asset, to me, you're a mentor, and I appreciate all you've done for us.
Yeah, I have really enjoyed working with you all. It's been phenomenal to see how you've progressed. You have the same challenge going on that many other business owners have, and that's you want to perform, you have a business that you're trying to look at the bottom line, and at the same time you're trying to manage the people and their productivity. And so that's one of the things that I do. That's one of the things that I specialize in, is to help business owners to get out of their performance phase so that they can really manage the business and engage their people. And you are, I'd like to capture your testimony sometime about that.
I'll definitely do a testimony.
Great.
Well, thank you, Angie Nuttall, for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
The Prather Practice is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. If we can help you to achieve better health, we'd love to hear from you. connect with our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Join us again here next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.